Good morning, everyone. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Andrea Christian Parks, and I'm Perry's wife. I am mom to Annalise, Perry, Aria, and Honora. Some of you guys might know them and not me. I'm a practicing OBGYN physician and surgeon with a focus on holistic care and nutrition. And I teach on health and nutrition and healthy living, and I practice yoga and meditation. And today, we're going to talk about one of those things. We're going to talk about meditation, spiritual meditation specifically. So I wanted to start with you all. I want to start with hearing what you all think about meditation. There's a lot of philosophies out there, lots of thoughts, lots of mentalities about it, and I want to hear what's in this room. And it doesn't have to be pretty. It doesn't have to be positive. It can be ugly. It can be negative. It doesn't matter. I just want to hear what y'all think. Clearing your mind. Okay. Anybody else? Thinking about spiritual things. Okay. Good. Anybody else? Yes. Getting to thoughts in your mind on a deeper level. Okay, good.
That's a good stress relief, and it helps you not be so reactive.
Stress relief and less reactive. Good. Anybody? Yep. Instead of praying, using meditation as a substitute. Okay, okay. Right. Awkward, difficult to sit still. What's in your mind? Exactly. Meditation. Okay.
Before, can I say about before?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought of the Eastern way of, you know, teaching meditation.
Right.
The sit and hum and, you know. But I think now, and especially as a Christian, I mean, there's a lot of scriptures that talk about meditating on God's word. So I think of just stilling myself and just really removing all, you know, all the distractions and whatever is racing in my mind, and just really settling down in a way that I can focus on God and what He's saying to me, mm-hmm. whether through scripture or just through the Holy Spirit, and really allowing that to become, you know, a part of who I am.
Right. Okay. We're going to talk one more, and then we're going to talk about that exactly. I'm not going to repeat it because we're going to get there. Right, being still, knowing that He is God. Exactly. Okay, well, let's talk about this, because there's lots of ways and philosophies to think about meditation. I started meditating some years ago, really to help me connect more fully to God, and we're going to talk about meditation from that perspective this morning. You know, there is the Buddhist mindset, there's the clearing the mind completely, there's lots of different thoughts and ideas about what meditation is supposed to be for. But for me, I had gotten to a point in my walk with God, and this year I'm 20 years as a disciple. And yes, amen, thank you, God. and I was really starting to get frustrated with, I'm a very good Pharisee. Let me just kind of help you know who we're talking to. I follow rules. I'm very good at doing what's instructed. But I was reading, I was praying, we all are taught to do things that way, but I was feeling like I was missing something. Something was not there. And there were other things going on. I had small children between working at night and not getting enough sleep and being up with kids at night. You know, I was getting in the closet to pray in the morning and falling asleep in the middle of prayer, so that wasn't working too well. So I just felt like I wasn't getting, there was this concept of a relationship with God, and I couldn't figure out what that was. I couldn't figure out how that relationship between the God that we don't see really was a two-way street. And we talk about, oh, well, the Bible speaks to us, and then, you know, we pray and speak to God. But I kind of felt like there was something more than that when we're talking about relationship and connection. So I started with prayer walks, because I figured I couldn't fall asleep with walking. But I really wanted to hear God also. So this is the scripture that he gave to me. I want everybody to turn to 1 Kings 19. And we're going to start in verse 11. So 1 Kings 19, verse 11. A lot of you will know this scripture will be familiar. This is Elijah's encounter with the Lord. Then he said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the Lord's presence." At that moment, a great and mighty wind was tearing at the mountain and shattering cliffs before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a voice, a soft whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. I thought it was amazing that Elijah knew that the whisper, that was when God was there. And everything else preceded him, but Elijah knew. And so I decided, okay, I need to listen for the whisper. Well, the problem was I'd sit down to listen and be still, and there was so much noise in my head, I couldn't hear anything else. Anybody else can relate to that? Yeah. Yeah. Life is so busy. It is so fast. And our minds are wired to see threat and danger. Okay? There's a specific part of our brains, I'm going to do this little medical part now, that's designed to detect danger. It's called your amygdala. It's the primitive part of your brain. And if we let it run unchecked, then it becomes very good at finding threats everywhere. Okay? That's what it's supposed to do, but it gets trained with practice. Okay? So if you add a little stress, a little busyness, we become anxious and overwhelmed, even depressed. Life becomes a threat. So years of unwatched thinking creates these pathways in the brain, very well-traveled, well-worn paths that release chemicals that encourage these states of anxiety and depression. And it's not easy just to think differently when this way of thinking is normal. We talked about this a little bit when we were talking about getting counseling and getting help with mental health issues. And I think that's important, and I'm not downplaying that at all. You might need therapy, counseling, or in some situations, medication. That's okay. Yeah. All right? But in any of these situations, meditation can help you to change those brain pathways. And they can be changed to ones that are more healthy and don't produce those chemicals that encourage the anxiety and depression. You can actually rewire your own brain. It just takes practice. There's a lot more that I could say about that, but we're limited a little bit by time here today, so maybe in another class or in the fellowship individually, if anybody wants to talk to me about it. Let's make a distinction here. I want you to hear me on this. You are not your mind. Okay? You are not even your thoughts. The essence of you, your soul and your spirit in the body you've been gifted, is separate and connected to your mind, but you are not your mind. A lot of us think our brain is in control of us. And it's true, the brain coordinates a lot of bodily functions. The mind, though, can be directed and trained. Your mind offers up thoughts to you, like a secretary. Okay, you get in a situation and your secretary, mine is named Martha, I'm sure you can figure out why that is, and your secretary goes, oh, remember what happened last time? Here. Remember what happened that time? Here. Remember? Oh, here, and this is what you did last time, this is what was said last time, this is how you felt, it pulls the files. Your brain is very good at that. But if we're not paying attention, then our thoughts become automated. And we believe them. We think they're true, even if they're just practiced incorrect thoughts. So it can work against us because all of our thoughts are not the truth. We'd like to think that what we think is true, but it's not. A lot of times it's not. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians 10. Thank you. And we're going to start in verse 3. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. We're going to read verses 3 through 5. It says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." The good news is that you can manage your mind. You, since we're all women here, you are the mother of your mind. Okay? So in the same way, for those of us that have children, we direct, we teach, we train our children, we have to do the same thing with our minds. And they act like children a lot. They bounce around and they just do what they want, and you have to bring them back to where you want them to be. So you can capture your thoughts and make them obedient to Christ. It seems like an impossible task, though, doesn't it? We have somewhere, I've looked at multiple statistics, there's somewhere around 50,000 thoughts we have a day. Maybe fewer, maybe more. So how are we supposed to capture them all? I'm not sure how to capture all 50,000. But I know that if we are instructed to manage our mind by capturing our thoughts in the Bible, then we can do it. And then after you capture the thoughts, you have to train them to be godly. You must know your Bible to be able to do this. So none of this that I'm talking about says, oh, don't study your Bible, don't pray. I'm not talking about that. This is a spiritual practice that will enhance the other things that we already do. Your meditation practice will only be effective at helping you hear the voice of God if you can distinguish His voice from yours and the warring voices of the demons who are set against you, because they're there too. Remember, we do not wage war as the world does. And you don't need to turn here, but in Ephesians 6:12, this is the put on the full armor of God scripture, it says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." And that's what's going on. There's a battle for your mind. Our thoughts are fertile ground. And what grows there depends on what you allow to be nurtured in your mind. When you get into your mind, you will hear the battle happening. You will hear thoughts from both sides of the spiritual war. But you get to decide which you will believe. So how do you know whether the thoughts of the voices you hear are from God? Knowing the word is what helps you to know the quiet whisper of God. In Hebrews 12, verse 2, it says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." We can't see Jesus in the flesh right now. But although he doesn't walk among us, he is with us. He left his Holy Spirit in us as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. So we have to fix our spiritual eyes on Jesus. And meditation helps us do that. Let me share a couple more scriptures to encourage your heart, and then we're going to practice some meditation. Isaiah 50, verses 4 and 5, says, "The sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being instructed. The sovereign Lord has opened my ears. I have not been rebellious. I have not turned away." So he's asking us to listen. And in Isaiah 41, verses 9 and 10, Isaiah 41, verses 9 and 10, It says, I took you from the ends of the earth, from its farthest corners I called you. I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not rejected you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. God wants to be with us, to connect and speak to us. We must get still, though, in order to hear his whisper to us. I've often said I wish God would just yell. Just speak up a little bit. God's not going to do that. He's going to wait for us to get to a place where we're ready to hear the whisper. So we get to practice. So I'm going to go up here and show you all a couple things that I think will help when you practice at home. But we're going to practice today. So for today, you know, you're in chairs and this is good. You can sit in a chair at home. I don't necessarily suggest when you first start practicing meditation that you practice laying down because you're going to fall asleep. It's not going to work. So there are a couple different positions I like. I brought my yoga mat and my bolster. You don't have to have any of this stuff, but I think for knees it's helpful to have some kind of cushion. I think there's a couple ways. Some people like, what are the little kids, crisscross applesauce? I don't like it. It's harder on my hips. And the key is really to get in a position that you can stay in for as long as you want to, that it's not uncomfortable, getting uncomfortable that makes you want to get up from meditating. You get up because you don't have any more time. You got to go do something else. But if you put something under your bottom when you sit cross-legged like this, that will help. I prefer to sit on my knees because I don't have knee problems, but I don't like how sitting crisscross applesauce makes my hips feel, so I just sit this way. But I need something under my feet because that will, so if you're on a carpet, that works, okay? But that will get me up, my feet starting to go sleep. So you need to sit up on something. The key really for what you want to try to do is to focus on your breath. There's lots of tools and things you can do. You can listen to music. There's an app called Insight Timer, and that's free, and it has different guided meditations and some music and different things that you can sort for how much time you have. You have 5 minutes, you have 20 minutes. But the key is to keep coming back to your breath, and what we're going to do today is a silent meditation. And I will guide you during the meditation, but what you're going to do is focus on breathing. And this is not the time to suck it all in and, you know, look pretty. Don't do that. You want to breathe deep into the belly, take the breath all the way down as far as you can, and empty. The receptors in your brain that register relaxation are going to register it on the exhale. So you want to get all the air out, okay? So when you take a deep breath in, now you're going to go at your own pace, and mine might not be the same as yours, and that's okay. It doesn't make any difference. If I say take a deep breath in and you're not ready yet, just when you're ready, take the next one. You may want to pause at the top of the breath and just hold your breath for just a minute, just a couple of seconds, and then let it back out. When you're at home, if you're sitting in a chair, it's probably best to be up. You want to think... You're thinking spiritual connection. So you're thinking connection up through the highest point of your head, up towards God. And so sitting back, lounging, leaning back on a chair is not going to help that alignment to be as good. So when you're sitting, go ahead and sit all the way up. And you can focus on a point across the room if that is helpful to you for focus. Or you can close your eyes. I tend to close my eyes. Neither one is right. I get distracted by all the things happening around me, so I tend to close my eyes. But if you close your eyes, you want to try to focus your gaze right here in the middle of your eyebrows. What I find is if you don't pick a point, even with your eyes closed, you will, if you pay attention, you'll realize you're looking like this in your mind. You're just kind of wandering. And one way that help you get back to the breath, back to focus, is to just put that gaze right here between your eyes. Okay? So just remember, the mind is going to wander. That's what it does. That's normal. It's okay. It's just like your two-year-old who's going to run off into the traffic if you don't grab them, keep bringing them back. And that's all you're going to keep doing. You're going to, oh, I forgot to breathe. I'm not focused here. Okay. Let me come back. It happens all the time. Some days will go better than others. Some days you'll go, what is going on? I'm everywhere today. Yeah, okay. The key to a successful meditation practice, to getting those brain pathways rewired, is to practice every day. It's better to practice 5 minutes a day than 45 minutes once a week. You gotta, because it's the practice. It's like lifting weights or any sort of workout regimen. If you just do it every once in a while, you don't really get really good at it. So, and there's not a, this is the right way to think. It's the practice of doing it over and over and over, that when the goal in the long run really is to be able to take the peace and the stillness out with you. So that when you go to work, I've felt like forever, I was like, I have these great quiet times. And then I go to work and be like, what happened? Life is crazy. And then I would be like, where's my peace? And now there are times when I can pull myself out of something stressful, crazy, difficult with breathing, because it takes my mind back to where I'm supposed to be, where I was when I was meditating. And that's just practice. That's just the brain going, oh, we can calm down here. We can think about this differently. What am I thinking right now? I'm upset because I think this. Oh, I don't have to think that. Where if you're not practiced at it, your brain just goes everywhere. So let me see. We've got... I'm going to just put a little timer on for me, and then we will practice. So everybody get in a comfortable position. You can take your shoes off, uncross your legs, feet on the floor. You can put your hands on your thighs. You can have your hands up. It's a little more open posture. Nice and straight sitting up. You can pick your point to watch, or you can close your eyes. And we're going to start with three deep cleansing breaths. Deep breath in, way down into your belly. And out. Again. And out. Third breath in. And out. And keep breathing nice and deep in and out. And take a little scan through your body. If your shoulders are up at your ears, go ahead and drop them down. And remember to empty all the way out. And breathe out. And your mind may be going all over the place, thinking about what you have to do after church or where you're supposed to be, and my foot's asleep and my neck itches. You always have itchies when you sit to meditate. It's okay. Just bring your mind back. Remember that you are the mother of your mind. And you're just going to keep breathing. Deep breath in. And out. And keep your focus right between your eyes. right between your eyebrows. And if you forget to breathe, just start over. Deep breath in. And out. And as you breathe, you remember that God wants us to be able to be still so that we can hear his voice. And he doesn't expect us to be perfect. He will give us everything we need with the Holy Spirit that is a deposit in us. Deep breath in. And breathe out. Feel the air go all the way in your lungs, all the way down into your belly. And let it all the way out, like you're wringing out a dish rag. Just all that air out. Let the air come in and cleanse your mind, cleanse your thoughts. And that breathing out, leaving behind a sense of peace and calm and relaxation. Deep breath in. And out. Imagine that breath coming in through the top of your head. And back out through the top of your head. As we get ready to complete our meditation, remember this feeling of stillness, of quiet, of rest, and know that any time that you choose, you can come back here just by focusing on your breath, of the air that goes in and out, that happens all day and all night, whether we think about it or not. It's always available to you to bring you back to this place. And very gently, you wiggle your fingers. If your eyes are closed, you can open your eyes. And we can bring the lights back up. So now that we've practiced, I wanted to see what everyone, a little bit of feedback, any thoughts, anything you want to share. Yeah, good practice, yes. Well, I tend to, what I found over time when I first started meditating was my mind would be very busy talking to me. And so the practice was to get me to be quiet. And then when I could get quiet, things would come. And I'd know if it was me or God because of the tone and whether it aligned with scripture. If it was negative, if it was harsh, if it was judgmental, it was me. If it was very quiet and encouraging, and I kind of went, really? It was probably God. So I don't tend to pray during meditation. I pray after, or I pray before. But for me, trying to get my mind to be still requires pretty much all the focus I have. Anybody else?
I think it makes me, like, emotional. Like, just taking that moment just to be still. Mm-hmm. Like, I can feel myself, like, getting emotional because it's not normal.
It's not.
And I think it's really good because you need to be broken like that. You need to get just to yourself.
Right. It, you know, we don't spend a lot of time being very still. We really, especially now with computers and social media and everything, we always... I have done a couple of solo retreats, and I spent a couple of days being completely silent, and that meant no texting, no phone, no none of that. And it was interesting how much longer the day was and how... part it was not to be, even journaling is talking because I'm writing, you know. So it's not normal. And what happens is when we are still and quiet, a lot of stuff comes up. Some people can't initially really get through very much of this kind of practice because stuff comes up and it's hard to sit with. But if you think about the, whatever it is, if it's sadness, if it's grief, if it's pain, those sorts of things really tend to come in a wave. And if you can sit with them, they will pass. Sometimes it's hard in the beginning and you can't do it. It's okay. Do it for a minute. Do it for 2 minutes. Set a timer and just that's all you're going to do. But the more you practice it, the more it will be able, you'll ride it out and you'll go, okay, it was just a feeling. It came and it went. Okay? It is.
Because I think a lot of times we're just running, and even our walk with God can actually become a chore. Mm-hmm. And I just think that God loves us so much. I think there's so many ways he wants to take care of us.
Right.
But we just don't give him that opportunity because then we're busy, we're running, we're not even just still so we can receive. You know, so I think this, even just today, I know we've done this before, but this just helped me to just feel, wow, I can actually do take care of.
Yeah, I do think this is a practice for taking care of yourself. And, you know, for most women, our tendency is to be taking care of everybody else. But this is a moment that we get to take, even like I said, if it's 5 minutes a day, that it is really caring for yourself and allowing God to care for you. Yeah. You don't have to know what to do with the thought. Usually the thoughts will come. You can just, if you can, just let them go. Sometimes when you're starting a practice, you may have a little pad of paper and just, because I always get, oh, I'm going to forget. Something I have to do, I'm going to forget it. Just jot it down so you can let it go. And then as time goes on, you'll remember, you'll know that your secretary will bring it back later. So you don't have to worry so much. It's hard. There's a lot of chatter for everybody, whether you're outwardly chattering or inwardly chattering. It's just a lot of, we are verbal people. We, you know, our lives are focused around words and they're always kind of going. But like I said, the practice kind of helps us to get to the point where we can calm some of that. Barbara? And then we're going to have to pray.
This may be just a technique thing, but I have so much tightness in my Mm-hmm. I've had it in a long time, but the natural thing for me is to just to like let my mind go. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it's better to have the alignment. You know, everything's, I mean, you put a lot of strain on that, on your neck, the more that you're tilting forward. So what you may want to do is do some of your neck and shoulder stretching exercises before you try to sit so that you're a little looser in the area, and then you can just, because you want to try to relax into the posture instead of putting more, because over time you'll start to get really uncomfortable in that area because of the weight of your head. So it's even you try both ways. So you want to come up? Okay. We're just going to pray, and then you have to go get your kids. Dear God, thank you so much for this time. Thank you for allowing us to be together, for allowing us to listen, allowing us to just be with you. Father, please help us to take this practice, to be able to continue to reach out and connect with you, because you will come in the whisper. You promised that you would, and so it will be. All this I pray in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.